بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله، وبعد. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا زدنا علما يا كريم. إن شاء الله we're gonna begin as usual. What we usually do is we start off with a little bit of a recap, so we continue with a few verses before, so we're able to actually understand the concept, continuity of what we were discussing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in verse number 13, I'm not going to recite the verses because we heard the verses in the salah. I'll start a few with recitation and then we'll stop, just due to the time.
أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحن نقص عليك نبأهم بالحق إنهم فتية آمنوا بربهم وزدناهم هدى وربطنا على قلوبهم إذ قاموا فقالوا ربنا رب السماوات والأرض فقالوا ربنا رب السماوات والأرض لن ندعو من دونه إلها لقد قلنا إذا شططا هؤلاء قومنا اتخذوا من دونه آلهة لولا يأتون عليهم بسلطان بين فمن أظلم ممن افترى على الله كذبا.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse number 13, we'll start off where the narration of the story begins. Allah says that نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ. We reveal unto you or narrate to you, O Prophet of Allah. نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ, O Prophet of Allah. We are narrating this upon you, but also vis-a-vis upon us today. عَلَيْكَ نَبَأَهُمْ, their news. Okay? نَبَأ in the Arabic language is خَبَرٌ. It's a news. But what is the difference between خَبَر and نَبَأ? Naba is a khabar or a news that is ذو فائدة عظيم. So it's a news, but it bears a lot of benefit to you. As well, as opposed to khabar, it could be bad, it could be good, we don't really know. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says over here, that we relate to you their naba, i.e. the story that is going to be narrated to you, the narration in it, there is going to be a lot of benefit for people. Okay, that's number one. The word naqussu, we talked about it last time, it means to follow footsteps. Qassa yaqussu means to follow footsteps. And from that is also miqas. What's a miqas?
Scissor.
What's the relationship between scissors and a story? Think about it. Use your brains. Let's go. Come on. It's 8 o'clock now. You should have, you know, rest. What's the relationship between telling a story and a miqas or a scissor? You're cutting down someone? MashaAllah, you're feeling hungry or something? We're cutting down someone. Think about the scissors.
Yes, so the scissors were closed and the story was told.
So each blade of the scissor, it follows in an exact, precise manner. And there's no deviations or anything. So a qissa is a story that actually followed the precision of a scissor in narrating that story to you. Okay? And that's why naqussu. Now, obviously, naqussu alayka naba'ahum, Allah is the narrator and He's telling us a precise story. Events, no exaggerations in it, exactly the way they happened. But then Allah says, bilhaq. Does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ever tell anything other than haqq? Then why is Allah saying, I am telling you the story, this story is going to be precise and accurate, and it's also going to be haqq? Why say this? It's also going to be true. There's going to be, this is going, it's going to be filled with truth. Why mention this? You want me to give you all the answers? It's not going to happen. I want you guys to use your brain. Because remember, it's reflections on Surah Kahf. Yeah, does it say that somewhere? Oh, they removed in this fire. Anyway. It was supposed to be reflections on Surah. We have to reflect together. So think about it. Who is the one who asked about this question? About this story? The Jews. So it's a subtle indication to them that whatever feeble and fake tales and folklore that you have and legends you have about Ashabul Kahf, as for us, O Prophet of Allah says, O Prophet of Allah, we're about to narrate to you their story so precisely, and it is the version that is the true version. The versions they have is not the true version. So this word bilhaq is actually the negation of their versions, that you don't have the haq. About their story, this is the haq, this is the truth, what is about to come. Is that making sense for everyone? Good. So occasionally when I ask this, just nod, right? Because sometimes I feel like people are either thinking too much, and I'm like, but I don't know, are you guys getting it or not? Like, am I like? And then everyone's like, and I'm sure you're thinking, but like sometimes I need an input, okay? And the guys online, you guys can give a thumbs up or something.
Do we know their medicine, how they narrate the story?
Yeah, we have lots of that. We don't want to confuse people on that. Yeah, we will use that which is mentioned in some of the hadith. We will use that which Ibn Abbas has mentioned, because he was the mufassir of the Quran. So we'll use some of that, but a lot of that is fabricated. A lot of that is just exaggerated in there. Okay, but there's a lot of truth in it. Just so we know, there is a lot of truth, because it's still at the end of the day a divine book of God, right? It's been altered. But no matter how many times they alter it, the essence of it, they can't get rid of it. Like today, you know, there was a book that I was reading, so it starts off and it said, it says, the first introduction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does of Himself in the Quran, in the Bible, the first introduction, the first name He introduces Himself is Elohim. E-L-O-E-L-I, Elohim, or something like that, right? Which means ilah and hum my ilah, right? That's the word. And then if you read the description they give for that word, like if you just remove that ilohum word and add Allah, and then read the description, you're like, this is Allah, this is exactly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? The issue happens when they come to Isa alayhi salam, and that's where they start, you know, choosing different things. Anyhow, so we try to stay to our sources, inshallah. نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ نَبَأَهُمْ بِالْحَقِّ إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ. Indeed, they are fitya. We talked in detail about the word fitya. We're not going to go into that. Those of you that have missed it, you can go and check that out. Innahum fityatun, they were a young group of people from an upper class. Remember, innahum fityatun, they were from an upper class. Amanu bi rabbihim, they believed in their Rabb. Okay? And we alluded to this, that Allah is testifying for their iman, that I am their Rabb. I became theirs. وَزِدْنَاهُمْ هُدًى, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increased them in guidance. We couldn't elaborate a little bit more on this. وَزِدْنَاهُمْ هُدًى. Somebody can ask, okay, if they already believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what is this ziyada? What is the add-on or this addition, right? In the tafsir books, there is a story written about this. For example, Uthman radiallahu anhu, during his khilafah, a person came to him, and this person had seen, accidentally, as he was walking, he had seen an exposed woman that he was not supposed to see. Right? And obviously he did istighfar, but he felt like, you know, it's not settling well for him. So he went to Uthman radiallahu anhu. And he said to him, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ra'aytu manzaran, I saw something. La yajuzu li an arahu. It was not permissible for me to see that. And I've done istighfar, but it's not, it's like it's there, it's like it's not leaving me. So this is wazidnahum huda, right? This is where when you become very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you get to see things. So Uthman radiallahu anhu, he saw and he said, Ya fata, O young boy, qum, get up and go make wudu. For verily I see in your eyes the fire of zina. What happens? This ziyada of hidayah, that when we have iman, and we have this hadith, the authentic hadith of Prophet ﷺ, which says what? That when we start devoting ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala voluntarily, right? All of us today are here voluntarily. Nobody is obligating us to be here. Maghrib was an obligation. This is a volunteer submission. When we volunteer our devotions for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that my servant, he keeps on getting closer to me. He keeps on getting closer to me, hatta, until he gets so close to me, hatta akun, I become the eyes with which he sees. And I become the ears with which he hears. And then what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and I become the tongue with which he speaks. It's not that Allah is speaking through you. It's that, you know, Allah inspires you to say the right things at the right moment. When you see things, you're able to see things you are like you see beyond what's obvious. And this is tested, right? That from in the past. So wazidnahum huda, these are the effects of their absolute iman. Wazidnahum huda, the effects of their iman leads them to further pastures of getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what wazidnahum huda. Is that understood? Okay. وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ, and then we sealed their heart. وَرَبَطْنَا, we talked about it, to tie something, عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ, upon their hearts. إِذْ قَامُوا, when did this rabt happen? When does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve your iman when you're filled with it? إِذْ قَامُوا, that when we get up and we do something, when we do an activity, when we become activated to do something for the sake of deen. إِذْ قَامُوا, when they got up, what did they say? The first question, فَقَالُوا, they said, Rabb, the first thing they said is, رَبُّنَا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَن نَدْعُوَ مِن دُونِهِ إِلَهَا. Our Rabb is the Rabb of the samawat, the heavens, والأرض, and the earth, and we do not call upon anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as our ilah. And if we were to say something like that, لَقَدْ قُلْنَا إِذًا Shatata. We would have said something that is going to be so far off from the truth. Okay? And shatata means something that has been distanced from its origin. Ashattu dar, i.e. a house that is so far away from civilization. Right? Similarly, that statement would be so far away from the reality of the truth. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هَؤُلَاءِ قَوْمُنَا اتَّخَذُوا. They are still speaking to one another. They're saying, هَؤُلَاءِ قَوْمُ. There are قَوْمُ. قَوْمُنَا. There are people. We don't disown people just because they commit sins. هَؤُلَاءِ قَوْمُنَا. There are people. اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا. They have chosen or they have taken other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala an ilah. لَوْلَا يَأْتُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِسُلْطَانٍ بَيِّنٍ. And, you know, I wish that they had some, they're wishing that hope, you know, that the thing that you believe in, we hope that you have some form of argument, with, you know, or some form of an evidence for this. Sultanim bayyin, a clear-cut evidence. But you don't have that. So then they say, فَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنِ افْتَرَىٰ عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا. Who is more wrong in transgression than the one who attributes iftara ala Allahi kadhiba, who attributes or who fabricates. The word iftara is kalamun bighayri haqiqatin yuqal li maqsidin batil. It is something we utter bighayri haqiqatin, it doesn't have any haqiqa, it doesn't have any reality, bi maqsadin batil. And what we want is we want to deviate people with these statements. Okay? Iftara ala Allahi kadhiba, that this statement is a fabricated statement intended to take people away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's a blatant lie. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa idh, and remember, i'tazaltumuhum, وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ When they took refuge from everything that those people used to worship, idols and all the other idols, they said, let's leave this society and everything that these people worship, all of their ilahs and gods, and we will seclude ourselves. وَإِذِ اَعْتَزَلْتُمُوهُمْ وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ And that which they worship, إِلَّا اللَّهِ Other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَأْوُوا إِلَى الْكَهْفِ So seek refuge in the cave. We talked about the difference between kahf and ghar. Kahf is something, makanun muttasi'un. It's a spacious enough area in a mountain, in a cave, that is big enough for dwelling. And ghar is something that is constricted. You can't live in it. It's a place you can enter, but it's not comfortable enough to live. Okay? إِلَى الْكَهْفِ يَنْشُرْ لَكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يَنْشُرْ لَكُمْ Allah is going to spread for you. نَشْرُ الشَّيْءِ نَشْر comes from نَشَرَ نُون شِيم رَ نَشَرَ And نَشْرُ الشَّيْءِ is to spread something, is to spread something after it had been After it was collected. So, yanshur lakum rabbukum min rahmatihi, that Allah's rahmah was descending, but now Allah has allowed that rahmah to be spread upon them. Yanshur lakum min rahmatihi. Yanshur lakum rabbukum, your Rabb, min rahmatihi, from His mercy. Wa yuhayyi lakum, and Allah will prepare for you, facilitate for you, lakum min amrikum, from your affairs, mirfaqa. Okay, mirfaqa. Mirfaqa is ease. Okay, the word mirfaqa or mirfaq, okay, or the Arabs they used to say marafiq. Okay, marafiq used to be in every masjid. There used to be annexy, and that annexy used to be called marafiq. Okay, and the purpose was these are additional services that the masjid would provide. Okay. And specifically marafiq or mirfaq used to be hospitality areas, okay, where hospitality used to be provided. In every masjid, they used to have an area where if a traveler was coming, they would be able to stay in a masjid. Right? That's how Ahmad ibn Hanbal comes to a masjid in the past. There's a very foreign idea that Muslims have to stay in a hotel. Right? If you go to Medina, you will find that in every for example, the people from Bhopal, they had their hotel, which they had the what's his name, not the emperor, who was the person in Nawab, the Nawab of Bhopal, he purchased a huge hotel in Medina, and anybody who was from Bhopal had a place to stay in Medina and a place to stay in Makkah. Till this day, that Bhopal Hotel is still activated and it's a waqf. Anybody from Bhopal can come from there, and if they can prove that they were born in Bhopal, they get a free hotel. Till this day. Similarly, people from Sri Lanka, they have their hotel. Right? The big rich people, the emperors of that time, they built that. So this concept of marafiq has almost lost. We don't have that. If a Muslim would be a traveler in a city, in the past they would never have to stay in a hotel because Muslims would have marafiq. Every Muslim house was built with an annexy for people to stay. And you would come to the masjid and you'd be like, oh, you're not going anywhere, you're my Muslim brother or Muslims, you're coming to our annexy. Right? And you know, it's something that is lost. So Allah is saying, that they're telling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they're saying this, that you know, if we enter this cave, Allah is going to descend on us our rahmah. وَيُهَيِّئَ لَكُم مِّنْ أَمْرِكُم مِّرْفَقًا And Allah is going to facilitate all the facilities that we're going to need to stay in this cave. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَرَى الشَّمْسَ إِذَا طَلَعَتْ تَزَاوَرُوا عَنْ كَهْفِهِمْ So, this is an important thing for us to understand. So I'm going to first do the translation that is the normative translation. I'll do that translation. And then I want you guys we will collectively think about it, that what this actually means. And then I'll show you a video about what it actually means. Okay? Right. Again, so it took a long while for me to get to this. And this is different than what you guys heard before. Very different, okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَرَى الشَّمْسَ, and if you were in the cave, okay, and if you were sitting in the cave, and you had access to be able to see the horizon, وَتَرَى الشَّمْسَ, you would see the sun, إِذَا طَلَعَتْ, when the sun would be rising, تَزَاوَرُ عَنْ كَهْفِهِمْ, it would turn away to the left. So, تَزَاوَر means, زَارَ يَزُورُ means, to deviate, right? What do you call a visitor in Arabic? Zair. Zair. Why do you call him a Zair? He deviated from his home destination to come to your house. Ziyarat in Urdu, right? That I deviated from my original intended destination of my home and I came to visit you. Okay, that's called Ziyarat. So Allah is saying that if you were to see the sun rising, and this is the east, obviously you'd be able to see the sun rising in the east. وَتَرَى الشَّمْسَ إِذَا طَلَعَتْ, because the only way you'll be able to see the sun is in the east. It's not gonna, you're not facing the west. So you are facing the east. And when the sun is rising, you're going to be able to see that the sun doesn't rise like this and sets in the west. The sun is rising and it's going like this. تَزَاوَرُوا عَنْ كَهْفِهِمْ. So as soon as it comes, the light is not coming in the cave and the sun would twist. It would deviate its direction off the original path. Okay? تَزَاوَرُوا عَنْ كَهْفِهِمْ. ذَاتَ الْيَمِينَ, towards the right. وَإِذَا غَرَبَتْ, now it's about to set. Okay? وَإِذَا غَرَبَتْ, instead of going like this, as soon as it crosses the 12 o'clock mark or the zenith mark, then instead of going back to its destination, it would also deviate away from the west. Like it would turn away into the west, rather than coming straight into the west. Are you guys understanding that part? Good, right? So the sun generally, if you're closer to the equator, like Atlanta and stuff like that, the sun is going to go like this. And winter and sun, the sun might go like this, or it might go like this. Right, but it's pretty obvious that you're gonna see like a 12 o'clock, and you're gonna see and all of that. Okay. وَإِذَا غَرَبَتْ, and when the sun would set, I will pull the muscle or something. I was like, what's going on? وَإِذَا غَرَبَتْ, that when the sun would set, تَقْرِضُهُمْ ذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ, it would deviate away, it would cut away towards the western side. وَهُمْ فِي فَجْوَةٍ مِنْهُ. And they were in a fajwa, a gap, an opening in between these turnings, in between these deviations. Okay? So now you have to understand what is happening. And then Allah is like, ذَلِكَ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ. This is one of the ayat, one of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was not just a normal sunrise and sunset. It's something which is like, if it was not ayat, if it was something strange, there's no point. Hala, sun is rising. Allah is like, ذَلِكَ, this deviation of left and right was ayat. It is from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ذَلِكَ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ. مَنْ يَهْدِ اللَّهُ, whosoever Allah guides, فَهُوَ الْمُهْتَدِ. He is the one who is guided. وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ, and whoever is misguided, فَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُ, so you are not going to find for him, وَلِيًّا, a close friend, مُرْشِدًا, a mentor. We're going to talk about these words too, inshallah. Okay, now let's try to explain this. So, you are facing the cave, and are you, so if you understand this, the sun is deviating from, so it's rising, and it's not going up like this in whichever path it's coming. It's deviating. And then eventually it reaches the top point. And then it doesn't go back to its western position. Then it deviates into the west. Okay. So what is happening is there. So you are facing which direction now? You're not facing east. And you're not facing west. Where are you facing?
You're in the cave.
You're in the cave. Yeah, إِذَا طَلَعَتْ. So if you were to look facing, طَلَع is like you're facing the sun. So you have to be in the cave. Right? Because from the cave, you would not be able to see the sun rise because it's going to be a mountain. So you have to be in the cave. And the sun can... So there's three possibilities. The sun can be you're facing east. But if you're facing east, you're not going to be able to see the west. Right? It's saying that you'll be able to see it setting in the west, deviating in the west. But if you're facing east, no matter whatever happens, the sun is firstly never going to set in east, because if it's twisting, you will not be able to see, because you're facing the east. So you're facing a direction where you're able to see the sunrise, you're able to see sunset, and in both cases, the sun is not going like this, the sun is going like this. And you're able to see the peripheral corners of east and west, but they're not initial, because in winter time they get closer. They don't start from east, exact east. They get closer to the earth because of the convexity. So where do you think this is happening, this place? Or where can you have this phenomenon? Or south. North or south. North or south. Okay? Now, I stayed in a city. It was called City of Cold Lake in Canada. Had a very interesting experience. In City of Cold Lake in Canada, they have long days, but the sun never sets in June and July. So here's me. I'm there for some work. Beautiful city, like lovely scenery and all. It's in the Rockies, the Alberta Rockies. Beautiful. And clear lakes, and it's just phenomenal. And the sun, I finish work, 5 o'clock, come home, I pray Asr, I pray Zuhr and Asr, and then I'm waiting for Maghrib. Usually in Edmonton, which was 3 hours down, Edmonton, you get Maghrib sometimes at like 9:45, 10. Isha is like 11:30. 11:30, sometimes like 11:45. And Jama'ah is at 12 o'clock. And Fajr is at 2:30 a.m. 2:30, like by 3:30 there is sun. Like I remember that during summertime you would not see the sunset or sun. Like it was just like you pray Isha and then, and a lot of the people, they follow the fatwa that they're just gonna do Jama'ah because they have work, so they will pray Maghrib Isha together and they go to sleep, right? And then they'll just wake up for Fajr and then go back to sleep because there's still 5 hours left for your work, right? And in the winter time, I would never see. Like I would leave my home in darkness and I would return in darkness. Because I would pray Fajr Salah at my work at 9:15. Like I would go to work, I would have worked, I would start work at 7, I would have worked for like good hour, 1 hour, 45 minutes, and then I would go down, make wudu, 8:45, like I would pray around that time. And then from there until the time I come back, all the Salahs I pray at work. Like Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Ish, and then Isha, you come home. Like it, and I would leave the office and everything was dark. I would arrive at dark and I would leave at dark. In Cold Lake, what happened? So I didn't know that. There was no sunrise and sunset. Only in July, June, July. So I'm waiting for Maghrib. And then I'm like, I have my window. I'm in the hotel. I see the sun and the sun is like... I'm like, okay, it's going to go. And then the sun is like, it's not going down. It's like, and then it starts going like this. I'm like, what is going on? Why is the sun moving this way? And like the first time you see it, you feel like Qiyamah is happening. You're like, this is going to the west. It's going to rise. Qiyamah is happening. A'udhu billah. You see that the first time. You're like, what is going on? And it just goes like this. And then subhanAllah, so I had like, you know, the you know, like I was with my director, so I got a penthouse, so they gave us like big things. So otherwise I don't get upgraded. He's like, oh, you're here with Ken Shelton, okay, we'll upgrade you too. So I was a miskeen who got upgraded back in the day. I was just like an associate. And then we're in like the top, and then I see the sun go like this. And then it just rises. So around 1:45, it's like, I'm like, yeah, akhi, the sun... I need to pray Maghrib. And this is not Google days. You can't Google it. You can't ask Chat GPT what is going on. Right? So I was like, what do I do? So the only person I can think of is one sheikh I knew. So I messaged him. And, you know, luckily he responded. And it was his tahajjud time in Toronto. Right? So he was like up for tahajjud. So he responded. He said, okay, if you don't have any alama, if you don't have any proper sunsets, go to the closest city time. So, you know, we had that prayer time app or something at that time on an HP iPack or something like that that used to be called. And then I downloaded that thing. Oh, the closest thing is Edmonton, so I know Maghrib time was about it. So I prayed Maghrib Isha, I went to sleep. Same thing, I estimated my Fajr. So that's what happens. So over here, what is happening is this phenomenon. I'll show you the video and then you guys will understand. Okay, Bismillah. Now, this is not a video of a full sunrise and sunset, but you will understand what I'm trying to say. If I can...
Cast, yes, cast. Bismillah.
I said, do you have to do something from there? Oh, it's working. Okay, so you see the sun. So imagine if this is not a picture of full sunset. So imagine if this went completely down, and then look, notice how the so it's actually it's not rising. It's going to the right, to the left, right? So when you would be in the cave, you would be able to see this, right? So you are probably facing where? Either north or south, where you're able to see this. Because what, and they're facing in a manner that you're able to see, and then it's so obvious that it's like it's not rising. It goes left and then it goes right. Okay? And like this is what the ayah was talking about the whole time. Right? Now you can say, okay, why have some many of our mufassiruns not mentioned this, or how do I stop this? Cast. Stop. Okay. Right? And the reality is, they probably didn't have the knowledge of the spheres at that time, right? You know, they didn't have the knowledge of spheres. And even some of the mufassiruns that are today, like when I was studying classical studies, I would ask questions that they had never heard of. So we were doing fiqh, and we were doing the chapter of dealings. And kitabul bayya. So there is something called gharar, which means that there is harm for you as a seller. There is a harm. So there is a trade in which there is an intrinsic harm that comes to the seller. Okay? That means we have to know the exact amount that I'm paying for the exact weight for the product. And that's the only time the product becomes halal from our vegetables. Okay? We can't just estimate for avocados for $2 and seven for $8. There is an element of nuqsan for the one buying. And there's also an element of nuqsan, or a problem can happen for the one purchasing or selling. So I told him an example of what happens in Canada, and he was so shocked. He was like, Anas yubi'un kitha. I told him, I was like, we go to strawberry farms, we eat as many strawberries as we want in Canada, and you fill the entire basket up, and you pay like $14 for like a big basket of strawberries. So they never believed, like the scholars couldn't believe that there was a transaction like that existed. Why is this happening? Because the strawberry farmer has already sold his primary, he's already made his money by selling the prime crop to all the big vendors. This is the surplus crop that he's just making whatever cash he can make. He's not interested in this crop. So he's like, yeah, come eat it, because otherwise the birds are going to eat anyways. Enjoy your kids. And it becomes like a touristy attraction for him. And he's able to, you know, put his name on the map saying that I'm a tourist attraction. Pick your own strawberry and eat and stuff like that. And there's other benefits that he gets out of that. So a lot of times, you know, the scholars who are writing these things, they have to be explained things. Like there has to be a student that tells them that this phenomenon that happened. Now I'm going to be meeting somebody who's an expert of tafsir. I'll present this theory. This is my theory, by the way. This is not something I read somewhere, I heard. This is like after, and this is different from what you guys heard before. Okay? So this applies more accurately, that they could be either facing north or south, where you're able to see the sun go down like that. And this is the actual video. So إِذَا طَلَعَتْ So you're able to see the inflection point of the sunset and sun, and you're seeing the sun coming down and you're seeing the sun rising out. And that's where they're facing. So all the theories of this being in Jordan or in Turkey doesn't work. Because sunrise and sunset of that abnormal nature would have been visible to anybody that was living there. For 300 years this was happening and nobody noticed about this anomaly of sunrise and sunset. Right? So then that makes a lot sense to us that this was a place that took place somewhere like in the northern areas or in the southern areas. And that's why we're now discovering as this ice is melting, signs of civilization, things. We're getting these hieroglyphics on stones and artifacts that they're, oh my God, there's an entire civilization that was there in the south. What were they? Who were they? Allahu alam. Right, so this is what I think this ayah is talking about. Now let's read the ayah again. This time, visualize everything that I've talked to you. وَتَرَى الشَّمْسَ And if you are in the cave, وَتَرَى الشَّمْسَ You would be able to see the sun. إِذَا تَلَعَتْ When the sun would rise. تَزَاوَرُ عَنْ كَهْفِهِمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينَ The sun would deviate to the right as it's rising. So it would rise and it would just go like this and then it would disappear. وَإِذَا غَرَبَتْ And the time of the sun set, the sun would come down. And you would see تَقْرِدُهُمْ ذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ It would deviate and start turning down back to the point where it came from. Okay? ذَلِكَ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ This is from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَنْ يَهْدِ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ الْمُهْتَدِ Whosoever Allah guides, مَنْ يَهْدِ اللَّهِ Whosoever Allah guides, for verily He is the guided. وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ And whosoever Allah misguides, فَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُ وَلِيًّا You're not going to find any wali for him, and neither a murshid, neither a person who guides. Rushd is different. So there's various words in the Quran that comes to describe the word rushd. And rushd is the ability of, an intrinsic ability of a person after they recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to differentiate between right and wrong. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about Ibrahim alayhi salam? وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ رُشْدَهُ Like Ibrahim alayhi salam was given this ability to see right from wrong way, day one. Right? Oh, أُفِّلْ لَكُمَا وَمَا تَعْبُدُونَ What are these things you're worshipping? Right? Why do you worship that does not speak? فَسْأَلْهُمْ كَبِيرُهُمْ Ask this all. Like all of this was what? Before wahi. So rushd is this experience that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can place in the heart of an individual for him to be able to see right from wrong. And that's why Allah is saying, مَنْ يَهْدِ اللَّهِ So this guidance comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah chooses to guide you, فَهُوَ الْمُهْتَدِ That person is going to be guided. Nobody would be able to misguide that person ever. May Allah grant us that guidance. وَمَنْ يُدْلِلْ But if Allah chooses to misguide us, فَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُ وَلِيًّا You're not going to be able to find any friend of that person, i.e. why a friend over here? Because الدين على المرء على دين خليله A person is on the way and a way of or the deen of your friend. Whoever you hang out with, that person is going to have a huge impact on you. Right? The Arabs, they usually say, As-sahibu, sahib. Sahib, a companion, is sahib, with the seen. I.e., he pulls you in his direction. Okay? That's why you'll find all the people, you know, that are common things that are between them, they will all hang out together. All the people, they'll have like a little WhatsApp group for go, we're playing this game, we'll pickle blonde on this day, and you know, we have badminton on this day, and sahib. Now, once your friend picks up, right, something else, and they're like, hey man, you gotta try this pickleball thing out. Then you go there, and now you're part of pickleball, and you're learning all the spins and curves that you need to do, right? All the interesting thing, right? And likewise, it's badminton. For many of us here, right? It's like, yo, what time badminton Sunday? They're all afraid of me so much in badminton, never invite me. So, I played once with them, and I you know. You were not there, right? Oh, you got defeated very badly, I remember. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, the score was like it was pretty bad. It was 21-5 or something. And then they were all, and these were the good crowd. So I was like, I'm not even coming to play with you guys anymore. It's too, so anyhow. And that tells you I'm not their friend anymore. وَتَحْسَبُهُمْ أَيْقَاظًا وَهُمْ رُقُودٌ This is beautiful. Now Allah is giving you another image of how they were. So first image is, you understand the environment. So they were in a cave, they were sleeping, and because of this angular sun coming in and coming out, وَهُمْ فِي فَجْوَةٍ مِّنْ I forgot to mention this part. وَهُمْ فِي فَجْوَةٍ مِّنْ When the light comes at an angle, so it is coming at an angle, and it is coming at an angle from here, it is causing a V, a light is causing a V in the cave. Okay? Because it's not coming directly like this. It is coming at an angle. So the light is coming over here, and another light is coming here, and it is causing a triangle of dark space. So Allah is like, as they were in the cave, the sun was coming in, the light was coming on this side, but this was empty. And then the light was coming on this side, and they are wahum, and they were fajwatim minhu. They were in the gap that the sunlight had created. They were sleeping in between, or they were lying down or standing. We'll talk about that later. But they were in that gap that was being formed because of the light. Is that clear for everyone? So wahum fi fajwatim min, that what does he mean there in that gap? The gap that the light had created because of this, the variance of the sun. Yes. I exposed too much. We will talk about that. We'll talk. So Allah says, it is creepy, it's coming right now. وَتَحْسَبُهُمْ Allah is like, and if you were to enter the cave, تَحْسَبُهُمْ you would see them أَيْقَاظًا You would see them sitting. So for example, if we all turn to Asad right now, if you all look at Asad, we all know that he's awake. Right? He's not sleeping. We all know that he's awake, right? By looking from this far, we'd be able to say, he's awake. So Allah is like, if you were to look at them from the cave, you're now looking at them. So now you're not looking from their vantage point. You are now looking at them. If you were to look at them, you would see them that they're awake. وَهُمْ رُقُود And they are sleeping. And then Allah is like, وَنُقَلِّبُهُمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينَ وَذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ Where was the sun coming out from? وَإِذَا طَلَعَتْ تَزَاوَرُ عَنْكَ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينَ وَإِذَا غَرَبَتْ تَقْرِبُ ذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ Okay? So there's a lot of things happening in this ayah that sometimes we just overlook. Okay? Allah is like, وَنُقَلِّبُهُمْ And we would turn their faces towards the rising sun and the rising setting sun. Dhat al-shimal. The ayah before, we just talked about it. Dhat al-yameeni wa dhat al-shimal. So Allah is like, وَنُقَلِّبُهُمْ Dhat al-yameeni wa dhat al-shimal. وَكَلْبُهُمْ بَاسِتٌ ذِرَاعَيْهِ بِالْوَصِيدِ And their dog was sitting with his paws like this, upright. No dog sleeps like this. Okay? If you know basic dog life, no dog goes like this and is like, okay, time for me to sleep now. Okay? They lie down, they put their head down, they're like, you know, on the side. This is what, the dog is what? Alert. Guard position. Because the other back legs are ready. If I need to attack, it just goes. وَكَلْبُهُمْ بَاسِتٌ ذِرَاعَيْهِ بِالْوَصِيدِ لَوِ اطَّلَعْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ Now, if you were to see the way we all saw Asad, if you were to have a look at them, if you were to see them, لَوَلَّيْتَ مِنْهُمْ فِرَارًا You would have turned around and ran for your life. لَوَلَّيْتَ You would have turned مِنْهُمْ from that sight and from them فِرَارًا Running away, saving yourself. وَلَمُلِئْتَ مِنْهُمْ And your heart would have been filled with them رُعْبًا Horror. And terror would have been filled in your heart. Now, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about in these ayahs, inshallah, we will talk about that next week. Bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. I love cliffhangers. You know, I took one drama class and I learned that one part. Alhamdulillah. So we will all connect, inshallah, next week. But it's very important that we understand this ayah in this concept. Okay? And I will give you the classical understanding, but then any understanding that I'm bringing is an understanding that is directly from the text of the Quran. I am not making it up. Right? The word itself has that allowance in the Arabic classical language for us to be able to understand this. Okay? بإذن الله تعالى. اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا وبارك اللهم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the ability to truly connect with the message of the Qur'an. We ask you, O Allah, to make the Qur'an a source of guidance and hidayah for us. We ask you, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that our hearts are filled with darknesses, O Allah. O Allah, we ask you to light our hearts with the nur and the hidayah of this Qur'an. We ask you, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that every single one of us is struggling with their faith and their iman on their own means. And we all showed up over here to learn your book and to understand your book. And we're not obligated to do that. Oh Allah, allow the nur of this Qur'an and the nur of this message of yours to penetrate into our hearts. Oh Allah, ease for us all the pain and facilitate for us from your janab rahmah, from your janab mercy for us. We ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that each one of us, we are not worthy of anything. Our actions are not worthy of anything. But yet you have allowed us to come and study your book. Oh Allah, allow this to be a sign that you are pleased with us. Oh Allah, allow us to be connected with your book forever. Oh Allah, let not there be ever a disconnect between us and your kitab. We ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you know, deal with us the way that you dealt with Ashabul Kahf. Oh Allah, we are dealing with so many trials and tests and fitnas in our lives and the society that we live in and the places we work in. Oh Allah, protect our imans the way you protected the iman of Ashabul Kahf. Oh Allah, allow us to be united together and help us help one another to protect and save our imans. Oh Allah, we ask you on this day that, oh Allah, every single one of us that has taken out time from their family, from their work, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them hidayah for every step that they took. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them barakah for every step that they will take back home. We ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that do not let this day be the last day that we connect with the Qur'an, and allow us to be in ever presence and every ever remembrance of your remembrance, and fill our hearts. We ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this blessed month of Rabi'ul Awwal, we ask you, Allah, this is the month in which your Nabi was born, that allow us to fill our hearts with His love. We ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we have deviated away from His path. We ask you, Allah, to connect us with His path and His sunnah. We ask you, Allah, that this month be a month in which we connect with His way and His life and His shama'il, so that we can love Him and we can understand Him better. We ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to give us the ma'rifah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Give us the ma'rifah, the awareness of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A ma'rifah, or an awareness of such a nature that it allows us to penetrate, and that penetrates in our hearts and increases us in love with Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and increase our love in a manner that it becomes easy for us to follow His path. Oh Allah, every single one of us is over here, and we have all come over here humbling ourselves in front of you. Oh Allah, every door can be closed, but your door is open for us. Oh Allah, we ask you on this night to allow us to be forgiven and fill our hearts with the light of forgiveness and tawbah, and allow us to be able to see right from wrong, and give us the hidayah and istiqamah. We ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that whatever we learn, allow us to implement. For verily Fir'aun, for verily Abu Jahl and Abu Talib and all these people used to understand Qur'an better than us. Oh Allah, we're trying to understand this Qur'an, but the maqsad of this Qur'an is that we follow it. Allow this Qur'an to penetrate in our actions. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَاءِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا فَإِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ